You see, God wants to use you. God wants to use you to preach His gospel. God wants to use you just the way you are. Oh, but Dad, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. And He still wants to use you. You see, I think sometimes in the body of Christ, we can be so full of excuses when we need to be full of God. When we were in the prayer meeting earlier, I saw this lovely little playpen, and God spoke to me about it. So I said, "Could we get this playpen up on the stage, please?" And they did a great job. Because I think it's a little bit like this sometimes. We're so busy in our wee playpen, doing church. Church is good. Attendance was great today. We're going to get some more money coming in for the car park. Feel quite safe in here. Safe, it's nice. I might do a study in here, actually, on portals or angels. Or I might read a book about the Bible in here and the safety of this. I might read a book about the seven mountains of influence, and that could inspire me for the next month. What the heck? People are going to hell, and sometimes we live our Christian life in this safe little bubble. We're actually playing games. It's time to stop with the games. It's time to stop making Sunday the pinnacle of our Christian week. Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand my personality. I probably don't. You don't understand that the reason that I don't share the gospel is because I'm an introvert. That's why I don't share the gospel, because I'm introverted. You see, I even wear an introverted hat. That's why it's so safe being an introvert in here. It's so nice being an introvert in here. When Jesus got the 144 together in the book of Matthew, He didn't go, "Cool guys, 72 of you, I'm going to let you have this hat, the introverted hat, put it on. And the other 72, you can wear the extroverted hat." This is a problem. Jesus didn't say that. Okay, thank you. Jesus didn't say that. He didn't split them into 72 introverts and 72 extroverts. He didn't do that. It didn't happen. He got 72 human beings together, just like you and me. And He sent them out. They all had different personalities. They all had different gift mixes. But He sent them out of the comfort of the building. Yeah? I haven't preached in Aussie for a year and a half. So that's why I'm going to bring it today. New Zealand, no flights into New Zealand. I might be stuck here for a wee while. So why do we preach the gospel? Why do we share the gospel? So glad you asked. Because He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy to be talked about. He is worthy to be spoken about. He is worthy to be brave about. Sin will separate you from God. It's another topic I don't really like talking about. Well, we need to. It's quite important. Do you know why sin
will separate you from God? Don't think that God will walk away from you, because he won't. He sticks closer than a brother, the Bible says. It pushes you away from him. It pushes you away from him. Sin is an issue. I believe with all my heart the key to revival, the key to recovery, is repentance. It's repentance. We don't need another awesome Bethel song. We don't need Bill Johnson to write a new book. We don't need another conference. We need to get on our face. Get out of the playpen, man. Pull that thing down. Get rid of it. Get out of the playpen and start living this thing out. Start living it out for an audience of one. You have got everything in you right now you need to impact the world. I remember I was, well, that's my introduction. Hi, guys, I'm Daz. I remember I was, what's that? Daz, D-A-Z. You can call me anything, man. Doesn't matter. I remember a couple of years ago, I came back from a trip, and I've got four beautiful kids. I've got a wee, Benji's four, Nevaeh's six, Shyla's 10, and Jaden's 14. And I came in, and it was a big trip. I was so tired. And my little boy said, Nevaeh said, "Hey, Dad, hey, there's money. I just found money. Pennies from heaven. Thank you, Lord. More, more!" And Nevaeh said, "Dad, could we play controllers?" And I said, "Controllers?" And she said, "Please, Dad, can we play controllers?" And I said, "Neve, let me just put my bags away and we'll play controllers soon." Now, controllers is Xbox to a four-year-old. And so we start playing this game. I put it in. We're sitting on the couch. And she's so cute, man, with her wee face. She's so beautiful. And her whole body's moving the controller. As we're playing, and she's going, making, like, grunty noises. Like, it was a real dad moment. Super cute. So as we're playing controllers, Xbox, I look down and I notice that her controller wasn't even on. And God spoke to me in that moment. He said, "So many of my sons and daughters, they think they're in the game, but they're not actually in the game at all." You're on an aeroplane and it was going down and you knew it was going down. There's no hope. Would you repent or would you worship? I was on a plane yesterday and I sat down, and about an hour into the flight, I just looked. I actually took a photo of this, of the two empty seats beside me. No, I was not sitting next to anyone. And I went, "Oh, God, it would have been cool for you to set someone up that I could talk to. It would have been awesome for me to talk to someone today about you." And I heard him so clearly in my heart. He said, "But you could talk to me." You see, sometimes it's not all about what we do for him. It's about spending time with him. It made me cry in the plane. You see, because I was saying, "God, why didn't you bring people that I can share about you?" And he's going, "Son, why don't you just spend time with me?" Because nothing I can do, nothing you can do, will make him love you any more than what he does right now. Nothing. So the only thing stopping you growing in God, moving forward in God, is you. And the problem is, the reason that sin is the issue is you love it and you don't want to let it go. The truth. And if that cuts you, praise God, I pray there's another one coming. Because it's time to cut that stuff out of your life so you can be free. See, the Bible actually says, who the Son? Now, that's not that round thing in the sky, by the way. It's the Son of God. It's Jesus. Amen. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Stand up, Michael. This is my friend Michael, my buddy. We travel a bit together. He's a good man. You nearly tripped me over then. About a year, well, I've known you for about 4 years. 3 of those years, you didn't like me.
Not at all.
He thought I was a weirdo. I would share the gospel with him. He wasn't interested in listening. But then?
What happened a year ago?
A year ago, if I can just take it back like 2 minutes, I had suffered. Sorry. Yeah, thanks. I'm not quite as loud as what Daz is. But I'd used heroin for 25 years daily. I'd been through 9 rehabs and a couple of mental institutions, and I could teach anyone in here how to stay off drugs, but the reality was I couldn't stay off them myself. I had my wife jacked up for me to be prayed by Daz, who I thought was weird, and another guy. They prayed for me, and in that moment, I had an encounter with Jesus, with true love, and that changed everything. I went from sticking a needle in my arm every day to never doing it again. And being, yeah, praise him. But the other amazing thing is I went from talking about drugs to everyone to talking about the one who set me free, Jesus. So, yeah, it's all about him.
So that's that looks like this, 3 times a day shooting up heroin to being totally free. 9 rehabs. 9? 9 rehabs. 2 mental institutions. 1 prayer. 1 prayer. 1 prayer. Why? Because he's not a name in a book. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He set him free. Why did he set him free? Because he loves him. But he also loves you. You see, he's no respecter of person. Doesn't matter what you've done. There's people in this room and you're so ashamed of the past. I want you to know the past is actually the past. I was a mess, a broken, dysfunctional mess. I had to leave New Zealand to come over here to escape because I owed a dude money for drugs. He came and gave me a hiding. He said, if you don't have the money when I come back, I will kill you. I'm out of here. So I fly into Brisbane, surfing all up and down the coast, escaping the mess that I caused at home. I walk into a church in Wollongong to meet girls. And I met God. I walked in a drug addict, a broken mess. And I walked out of that church a son who was set free. Amazing. It's like seriously amazing. And if he can do this to me, he can do this to anyone. I had a praying mum. Who here's got a praying mum? Awesome. The prayers of my praying mum. The Lord used to wake my mum up at 2-3 in the morning. I'd be drunk in a gutter somewhere in Christchurch City and say, you start praying for your boy. I stole some money off mum. A couple of weeks ago, things have been a bit tight due to COVID. Don't judge, man. We all make mistakes, don't we? It was only a few thousand. I had to go and pay some court fines about 26 years ago, and mum gave me a card, and I thought, I'll call into the casino. You see, the power of the seed. What words have you had spoken over you? What prophetic words have been spoken into your life, and you're thinking, wow, that hasn't come to pass? You see, because I stole some money off mum, I, at the casino, used her card. I emptied her account. She'd just become a Christian. She started reading the Bible. She started saying, "I'm praying for you." I thought she lost her marbles, man. I like seriously thought, "Mum's gone mad. She's legit gone mad." I could hear her in her bedroom talking to herself. She would say it was praying. So when Mum found out that I emptied her account, she wasn't that stoked. And she said to me, "Well, you need to pay the money back and you need to come to church." I was happy to pay the money back, but I wasn't so happy to go to her church. As a matter of fact, I was gutted that I had to go to church. I was thinking, "Serious, let's go to church." So I thought, I'll get a surfing magazine and I'll go to church. So I go to this church with Mum to pay my penance. I'm sitting down the back of this church in Christchurch, New Zealand, and I'm reading my surfing magazine. And there's a guy up preaching, and he's preaching away. Wasn't that interested at all, really. Just reading my magazine. And he pointed to me, and he said, "Sir, you need to come up here." And I looked up and went, "What the heck? I'm not going anywhere near you, man." And he jumped off the stage, and he came to me. And he pointed at me, and he said, "I see the call of God that's on your life. I've still got my surfing magazine. I'm only there to please Mum. I don't even believe in God." So I got my surfing mag. I go, "Oh yeah, cool, man." He said, "God has called you to be an evangelist." I didn't even know what that word meant. Still don't even really today. "God has called you to be an evangelist, an itinerant, international evangelist. Get ready." He spoke that into me. The seed went in. I went, "Oh yeah, sweet ass, good on you, mate." He walked back to the stage. He would have been thinking, "Oh, well, that one there didn't go too well." See, what is success? Is success me falling on my face? "Oh, you're right. Oh, that's the call. Yes, I accept it. Jesus, forgive me." He would have got back onto the stage. "Well, I got that one right. Praise God." But he walked back to the stage knowing that I was not interested in him. I didn't like him. I didn't believe in him. I didn't even understand what those words meant. But what if success in the kingdom is obedience? What if success is obedience? What if when we just step out of the boat and share with someone, no matter how they respond, that's success? I've been punched in the face. You've been punched in the face. It's amazing. Is that a success story? Is that a success story? My mum didn't think so when I came home missing a tooth. I wanted to wear the tooth around my neck. But mum didn't think that was a good idea. But what I'm trying to say is you would look at that and go, "Well, that was not successful." Well, no, because it's the power of the seed. So every time I look into someone's eyes, I say, "Hey, I just want you to know God loves you." I'm sowing a seed. Amen. We walked into our hotel last night. And I just said to the dude in the car park, "Hey, bro, God loves you." And he went, "Oh, yeah, he does." And then I said to the other dude coming out of the lift, I said, "Bro, God loves you." Then the guy that I'd just spoken to goes, "Yes, he does. He does love you." He clicked onto him. He started sharing with this guy. The simplicity of the gospel, you see. So when I came to Aussie, this broken man, I go into this church to meet girls and I meet God. The night that I got saved, it all made sense because I remembered the word that that man had spoken over me a year beforehand. I remember that God wanted me to do something for him. I didn't quite realize what that was, but I knew that night God commissioned me with a seed. What has God commissioned you to do? What words have been spoken over you and you're thinking, "Well, that was 2 years ago. I actually feel a million miles away from God." Wouldn't it be tragic if our Christian life was based on how we feel? Christianity's got nothing to do with feelings. It's called faith. I've probably felt God myself in 25 years, maybe 5 times, properly felt him. But I live by faith every day. serving the Lord, knowing that one day I'm going to meet him face to face and I'm going to hear, well done, you good and faithful servant. But here's the deal. If you were to die today, what would he say to you? Well, you were really good with your church attendance. You did the 40-hour famine. Fantastic. You wore a Christian t-shirt 80% of the time. That's amazing. You even prayed for people and prophesied over them. But depart. I never knew you. You see, we can know a lot about someone without knowing them at all. Do you know Jesus, or do you just know a lot about him? Do you know Jesus, or do you just know a lot about him? Because every single one of us in this room and watching online, you're going to stand before him. Right now, Jesus Christ is a loving Savior. But don't be fooled. There's coming a day where that loving Savior will be a severe judge. My question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Time to get out of the safety net. It's time to let the excuses go. The love affair with sin needs to stop today. It needs to stop today. Because you can be free today. Michael is a living example of it. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for holiness. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's not the church spirit. It's not the Christian spirit. It's not the hope spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Today's your day, man. I don't know anything about you. I don't know anything about you. Holy Ghost just said, it's his day. Today's your day. But here's the deal, you've got free will. My question is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Because how tragic would it be to give Jesus your heart? How tragic would that be? To give Jesus your heart when he died for your life. All he wants is all of you, man. Just like that guy that jumped off the stage and came to me. I'm jumping off the stage today and I'm coming to you. All he wants is all of you. What are you going to do with Jesus? You see, the Bible says freely we receive, and we kind of think that's good to receive, and a lot of our receiving is in here. Oh, yes, we're going to go to church and receive. Oh, give me more, give me more, give me more. Give me more, give me more. Oh, I got a bit, Whoa. And that's cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm not mocking it. I'm exaggerating a point on purpose. Freely we receive. So freely we open the thing up and get out. And freely we give. So freely we receive his goodness, his kindness, his mercy. The anointing, we receive it. But we receive it to give it away. Otherwise we're no different than St. John. And these other beautiful charities doing nice things. We don't want to be people that are known for just doing nice things. We want to be known for people that preach Christ. We preach Christ. We won't compromise. We preach Christ. We preach sin. We preach salvation. We preach heaven. But we also preach hell. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? I think it's so beautiful when people start walking out oh, that encourages me. Why? Do you know why? Because I know Holy Ghost is here and he's convicting hearts. And we have a free will choice to do with what we want to do with it. One of Jesus' friends handed him over to the Roman soldiers. We could have that slide up. Jesus on the cross. You see, often we can think, well, the cross, it's a great message for communion. It's a great message for Easter. The cross is an everyday message. No, not that one. I want you to have a look at it. And if we could dim the light so you can see it properly, that'd be amazing. The last slide. You received that. I offered you that book, bro, and you received it. Okay, as I'm doing, finding that slide. So one of his mates betrayed him with a kiss, handed him over to the Roman soldiers. They got Jesus. This is the Jesus that I met in your country 25 years ago. Why it is so special for me as a minister of the gospel, an ordained, credentialed minister in New Life Churches in New Zealand, to be standing on your soil today. Because I met my father in your country. I'm a legit Anzac man. I am. Born in New Zealand, born again in Australia. It's amazing. Well, I'm not sure about this dad's chittle dude. He gets a bit passionate and he's pretty full on. So when you watch the State of Origin tonight, do you yell at the screen? You put on your purple top or your blue top and your face paint, and do you get passionate for that? I can't believe it. We lost by 4. Really? I can't believe it. You wouldn't tell the lady at the cashier that Jesus loves her. I find it really hard to believe that you can be so passionate and bold about wearing your colors. I'm not picking on you. I'm going to pick on you. Stand up, bud. See, we can wear our colors, yeah? We're proud of our team. I want to tell you about my captain. You see, my captain, that's my captain there. See, my captain's one that I want to talk about. As his buddy handed him over for a bag of coins, my captain got a sack put over his face. Now, you imagine that for a moment. Putting a sack over your face and getting your friend to punch you in the head. You wouldn't know where it's coming from. But they did that to Jesus. They put a purple robe on him to mock him. A crown of thorns down over his head. They were spitting on him. Do you know, most theologians will say on 3 different occasions he got flogged. Not once, not twice, 3 times. They tied him up and they whipped him. And it wasn't a whip like a belt. It has bits of shell in it, bits of steel in it. So it was designed to rip your skin off your body. The Bible says that his skin was hanging like ribbons. That's my captain. That's one that I will stand up for. That's one that I will share his story. Is he your captain? Is he your Lord and Savior? Or is he just someone that you've heard some cool stories about? And maybe, let's hope maybe you'll end up getting one of these. A golden ticket into heaven. Maybe you'll get this golden ticket into heaven. You just got to say this little sinner's prayer, you see. And then you get this golden ticket into heaven. What the heck? How backwards is that? It's called discipleship, man. Jesus said, go and make disciples, not some confessing little prayer that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, and now you've ticked the box, you got the ticket, you go to heaven. What the heck? As the body of Christ, it's our job to disciple. To disciple. We're called to disciple. Yes, I believe a prayer is required. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Yes. But we don't manipulate people by saying, hey, do you want to get saved? Quickly say this prayer. You'll be all good. How backwards is that? That's watering down what the captain did. People need to know what the bad news is so then they can understand the good news. The wages of sin is death, but the goodness of God brings eternal life. Oh, well, I don't want to give up sin. I don't want to do that. I want to, sweet, well, then you're not ready. Because I'm not going to present some half-baked, watered-down gospel message just so I can get a Facebook post. You'll be accountable for that on Judgment Day. That's actually called pride. Do you know if pride can kick an angel out of heaven, what on earth could pride do in the heart of a Christian? So they put him on this, tied him to this pole, and they would be whipping him. The Bible says he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that means you don't need to be stuck in sin. Just stop loving it. Stop loving it and let it go. Whip, whip, whack, whack in his face. They got his arms and they pulled them out like this. They got 9-inch nails. They slammed them through his hands. They chocked his feet together. They slammed another nail in his feet. This is the gospel. This is what love looks like, man. And all he wants is all of you. The Bible says, this verse rocks me, man. Father, I just pray that this room is just filled right now with your Holy Ghost and conviction. I pray conviction would run like a river through this room right now. Right now. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. It pleased the Father to bruise the Son. Do you notice that when Jesus was on the cross, he didn't say, Dad! Dad, come on, man, it's been 5 hours. Dad, what are you doing? Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's what Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father turned his gaze from his Son for the first time in all eternity. Why? Because Jesus was carrying your sin. Jesus was carrying my sin. Jesus was carrying my addiction. All the junk in my life, he was carrying it. But God knew for the Son to become the sacrifice, then you and I can stand boldly before God. We can be sons and daughters. He doesn't look down and call us Christians. He calls us sons and daughters. He calls us by name. Why? Because of the cross. Because of what Jesus did for you as you, because he loves you. Three of you are excited. The Bible says, as he be lifted up on that cross, he will draw all men to himself. You need to get right with God. Oh, do not do. We need the music team. We need some emotional music. We need to dim the lights. Whip your hand up, whip it down. Do it quickly so no one can see. Honestly, I can't cope with that. I'm not even joking. It's absolutely horrible. Seeker friendly. What the heck? Where on earth is that in the Bible? We want to make our meeting seeker-friendly, really? Well, that's called a TED Talk. We need to make it sinner-friendly. How do we make it sinner-friendly? Well, we preach the gospel. We preach the A, B, C of the gospel. That's how people we make it sinner-friendly. And what do you know? Sinners will get saved. Well, it's not rocket science. You preach the gospel, sinners will get saved. So if you're a sinner in here, if sin has created a void between you and God, if there's stuff in your world and you need to get right with God, with every eye open, with every head up, I want you to stand up and come down here right now. Who cares what anyone thinks? You could be a leader in a church. You could be a leader in a ministry. You could be a preacher. You could be a worship leader. I don't care. Today is your day. Don't let pride hold you in your seat. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Oh, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I haven't heard preaching like this. Well, then clearly you don't read the Word of God every day. Because I'm not being mean. I'm just saying what's in the book. If you are lukewarm, I did not say this. This is not a statement from Daz Chettle. This is written in the Word of God. If you are lukewarm, you, friend, will be vomited from the mouth of the Father. Lukewarm is a taste he doesn't like. Today is your day. Bring all those issues, those backpack of issues, all that stuff. I believe there's people, and your comfort is so much more in church than the actual comforter. And we want to destroy that today. Your comfort needs to be in Him and Him alone. Your comfort needs to be found at the foot of the cross. Church is amazing, but church is family. Jesus is the Savior. This whole thing is all about Jesus. I'm going to count down from 10. Because there's several people in the room right now, and today is your day. I only just got in yesterday due to COVID. A couple of hours later, I wouldn't even be here. And I know that I know with all my heart, I'm here on assignment for my Father to tell you the truth. And I don't have time to water it down. Ten. Divorce the fear right now. Divorce it. 9. 8. Run. If you need to get right with God, run. Run to this altar right now. Don't muck around. Run. 7. 6. There's an urgency, man. There's an urgency. The Bible actually said for Lot's wife to run and don't look back. There's people in this room and you're that scared of responding. Run and don't look back. Just run and don't look back. Run and don't look back. Sacrifice yourself today on the altar. 6. 5. I just hear in my heart, there's two more actually. I just saw the number 2. There's 2 more people and the Lord would say to you today, run to the altar and don't look back. Run to the altar and don't look back. Who are you? There's 2. There is 2. You've got free will, but I'm giving you an opportunity. The lead pastor of our movement, Adam White, sent me a news article. There was a lady, she went to church. There's 2 of you, come on. I'm waiting for you. This is love, I'm waiting for you. Run and don't look back. God bless, there's 1 more. Who are you? He sent me this article, this lady went to church. First time in years, responded just like you're responding today. Run and don't look back. Who are you? We are waiting for you.
God wants you to know that you're worth waiting. So this lady, elderly lady, responds to the gospel, responds to the altar, just like this, just like these people are doing. This is normal. This is called repentance. This is where revival starts. She drove home. On the way home, she had a car crash. 45 minutes earlier, she'd given her life to Jesus.
She died in that car crash. You don't know what's going to happen when you leave this building. In COVID, in the lockdown, we had 3 months or 10 weeks or something where we were locked down properly in New Zealand. God spoke to me. I'm looking forward to hearing you preach. I'm 100%, I'm not even joking. When your dad introduced me to you, in my heart, I said, man, I'm so looking forward. Look at me. I'm so looking forward to hearing you preach. Do you know that I'm dyslexic? I'm dyslexic. I can't even spell my wife's name. Seriously, her name's Jo. No, that's a joke. It's not Jo. I'm dyslexic. I've struggled with reading and writing my whole life. If anyone in this room shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, it's me. Yeah? So the thoughts that you've had over yourself that, God, I know that you've got a call on my life, but I just don't know how I'm going to do it. Well, you're not, because he's going to do it through you. Okay? You just need to open your mouth. Okay? I'm going to stay connected with your dad, because when you preach, I want to be there. I don't even know what I'm saying. Let's just talk about Jesus. So, all right, lockdown. Do you know, right now, I could lead you through this amazing prayer. I've got it down pat. I've said it 1,000 times. Wherever I travel around the world, I say this prayer, and it's a cool prayer. But the Bible says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God rose up his son from the dead. So here's the deal. This is where my part of the ministry stops today. I'm done. Thank you for having me. This is where your part starts. Because I do not want you to be my echo. I want you in your own words, whether that's out loud, whether you sing it, whether you dance it, whether you whisper it, I don't care. But from your own heart, I want you to ask Jesus to forgive you. I want you to acknowledge him as the Lord and Savior of your life, of your world. I want you to ask him to come and invade you. Give him full permission. The things that are sitting on the throne of your heart, I want you to kick them off right now. Just kick them off. They're not supposed to be there. That could be ministry. That could be family. That could be friends. That could be pornography. That could be drinking. That could be this. That could be that. That could be drugs. Whatever. Kick it off. And I want you to invite Jesus, Lord Jesus, to come and sit on the throne of your life. So Jesus is the most important thing, person, in your life. That Holy Ghost now lives in you. So when you're talking to someone, it's no longer you that live, but it's Christ that now lives in you. So do that now. Just cry out to him. Just ask him to forgive him. Just go. Just speak to him like you're speaking to a friend, like you're speaking to a father. Get them, Lord. Every single one of them. Lord, I'm on you. I see, Lord, I'm on you. Seal this day, Lord, in their heart. Lord, that this will be the day that gets written in their Bible. Lord, that this is the day that they know that they know that their name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No more guilt, no more shame. Every single one of you, when you stand up, you're standing up free. You're standing up free. Because the Bible said, the Word of God says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You are free. 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 You're free. You're free. Believe it, man. Just believe it. And when you walk out of here, lift your head high and believe that you're free. And tell someone today about what happened to you this morning on this altar. I challenge every single one of you in the room, actually, to tell someone today about the goodness of God. to tell someone today about how amazing Jesus is. Yeah? Do it, man. People, I just see the word influence. I know there's all that social media junk with influencers and all that, but I just see that God wants you to be an influencer, that you would influence people to follow him and to live a straight down the line life for them. It starts with the one today. Talk to someone today about Jesus. Yeah? Because when you talk to Jesus, the Bible says Jesus talks to the Father about you. Get talked about in heaven today. Yeah? If you struggle with fear in here, I want you to stand up right now. Hate fear. I believe fear is the biggest cancer to ever hit the church. Fear of man, fear of being rejected, stand up. Or you might be thinking, well, I'm too scared to stand up. What the heck? I'll just go home then. If you can, and don't lie. Ananias and Sapphira didn't go so good when they lied. Don't lie. If you struggle with fear in this room, I want you to go, and if you're elderly, get someone to help you. But if you struggle with fear in this room, I'm being very serious. I felt this in my heart to do. I want you to go and stand on a chair somewhere in this room. If you need support, ask someone to support you. If you struggle with fear, you guys, if you struggle with fear, or just if you don't, praise God. Okay, the second thing, if you struggle with lying, do you need to stand on the chair as well? I can see there's people that are sitting down that should be standing up. See, here's the deal. I believe if my friend can be set free, this is not a fun thing to end it now. This is, mate, I'm landing this plane. This is serious. I'm going after this. If my friend can be set free with one prayer from heroin, why can't you be set free today of fear? God's no respecter of person. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and they realized that they were unskilled, ordinary men, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus will tear this fear out of you. So next time you sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear, you can sing it from your heart, not wishing it would be. Right, I want you to lift your hands up right now. Holy Ghost, I thank you for every single person standing on their chairs. Lord, and I just pray for every single person that's sitting down that's too scared to stand on their chairs. We speak to them as well. Lord, I pray that you would hit every single person in this room with boldness and courage. I speak boldness and courage right now in the name of Jesus. Devil, I bind every demon of fear that has tormented so many in this room. Devil, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. We break our agreement with fear right now in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom over you right now. I speak boldness over you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your word says the righteous are as bold as lions. Father, I thank you for this room full of lions. Lord, I pray that this group of people will turn the city upside down. No more shackles. No more pain. No more shackles. No more chains. You are free. I want you to say this. I. Mate, that was like in a retirement village. Let's do it again. I am free. I am free. free. Jesus. 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 I am yours. Amen.
Amen.
If you've got any sickness in your body, put your hand up right now. Awesome, right. Well, not awesome that you got sickness. Awesome that he hung on a cross to take away the sickness and the sin. So I want Christians, brothers and sisters, gathering around all these people right now, because you don't need the preacher to lay their hands on you to get healed. Lay your hands on them, guys. Gather around them. Lay their hands. Be appropriate, guys. Keep your hands on guys. Girls, keep your hands on girls. But pray. More, Lord. More. By his stripes, we're healed. By his stripes, we are healed. We speak to every sickness in this room right now. Also, every emotional sickness in this room right now. We speak to it right now and we break it in Jesus' name. Total healing. That's the gospel. Being free, being healed, being emotionally free. That's the gospel. Disease. Go in Jesus' name. What's wrong with your hand? Lord, your word says, lay your hands upon the sick and they will recover. Father, we just pray right now for these two bones. We pray right now to be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you're a miracle-working God. You can part an ocean. You can fix two bones and an arm. In the name of Jesus, by your stripes, we are healed. We pray for these bones to come back into alignment right now. Right now. We pray total healing right now. Hasi korda mandia.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let that healing flow in this place. Keep praying. There's people getting delivered of demons right now. There's people getting healed right now. God is moving in this place today. Holy Spirit, we pray you continue to touch people today. Deliver people today. Addiction's being broken today of people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom in this house. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. Come on, let's keep praying. God's doing something here. If you haven't started praying for someone, go and find someone and pray for them. There's lots of people needing prayer right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Tu sorababia soko sushukotarabai. Subarababia soko sushukotarababai. There's people being set free right now in the name of Jesus. With the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I know some of you have to go soon, and before you go, we are going to collect a love offering for Daz. So if the ushers could prepare for that in just a moment.